Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
If you've got a free 30 minutes, you never have to worry about a break-in at your house again. That's how quickly you can set up SimpliSafe. Go to SimpliSafeColin.com today. Get a free security camera. So I love stories like this. This is amazing. And I always think, you know, we always talk about joy quarterbacks who have a chip on their shoulder because nobody, you know, thought they were going to be good. Now think about Darius Leonard. So Darius Leonard plays in the shadow of Clemson and South Carolina. And he goes to South Carolina State. So I'm going to ask him in a second, did they even recruit you? So I never saw him play in college. I guarantee you 90% of the players never saw him play in college. He not only goes to the Colts as a rookie and he's good. This is funny. He led the NFL in tackles as a rookie. There's this old term, sleeper, like a guy's a sleeper. Darius is one of the last sleepers that was literally a star NFL player that like nobody saw play in college. We usually hear about, I remember T.Y. Hilton played, and I remember hearing about T.Y. Hilton. I didn't even hear about Darius Leonard. And he has a new foundation. He is joining us live. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. 4 years, three-time All-Pro. So let me ask you. So did Clemson or South Carolina even recruit you?
Clemson, yes. South Carolina, no.
So did you always have a little chip on your shoulder about that? Did you want to prove them wrong?
Of course, because, you know, my brother went to Clemson and my cousin went to Clemson. So I was thinking, you know, I was going to follow in that same road to go to Clemson. And, you know, me and my brother had the same frame. So, I mean, I don't understand, you know, what was the thing there. And then, so it came down to my very last test score to be qualified to play at the next level. And once I made it, you know, I called them. Hey, you know, I made the score. They said, well, they had no more scholarships. I called every college that, you know, had interest in me. Nobody had scholarships. Nobody wanted me. So I called South Carolina State. I asked them, hey, I made the score. What y'all got? They said, we got you a partial scholarship. So I went up there on a partial scholarship, and the rest is history.
My God. So that's even worse. Both your brothers played at Clemson. God, that's Dabo Sweeney.
Yeah, it was crazy, man. I mean, I stayed every weekend. I was in Clemson, so I just knew that was the only visit. I mean, the only camp that I went to was Clemson camp. And then, luckily, you know, on the way back from Clemson, I went through South Carolina. They had a camp, and you know, I stopped there for like an hour. And then after that, that was it.
Oh my God. Isn't that an amazing story? So you go to the NFL, and nobody knows who you are. And then Darius Leonard, who's Darius? So how many practices did it take before the Colt players were coming up to you and, like, they knew your name, they knew who you were? Like, how long before you're like, okay, I'm going to be good? How long did it take?
Well, you know, I came in with a quad injury. So that first day of practice, I re-injured my quad. So I didn't do anything, all OTAs. And you could tell the looks on these guys' faces, like, wow, we just really drafted this guy. He's hurt. I don't know what he's going to bring to the table. And then the first day of training camp, I picked off Andrew Luck. And next thing you knew, everybody's coming up to me, congratulating me, talking about, hey, you're going to be pretty good. And that was it. And then the game that I really think that stood out to everybody was week two against the Washington Redskins, or the Washington football team now. And I ended with 19 tackles, two sacks, and that's when they were like, "Okay, yeah, okay, now we realize who we have."
19 tackles in an NFL game—that is insane. So now, you know, it's interesting. You had doubters, and now you have Carson Wentz and Darius. He has doubters. How do Colt players look at a guy that was really good and they really struggled? Because there are a lot of people out there right now that are like, "Man, you guys won a lot of games with Phillip Rivers. Is the team all in on Carson? How's it feel right now?"
Are we all in? You know, everything, you know, we trust and believe in everything Chris Ballard and Coach Frank and Jim Mercy doing all in the front office. And if you get brought into the Colts organization, that means that they believe in you. And if they believe in you, we believe in them, and we're going to stick behind you no matter what. And I do think, you know, I played against Carson in 2018, his first game back from his injury, and he played very well on it. when he came back. I haven't seen too much film after that, but he was actually a pretty good quarterback when we played him. So we know what talent he talented he is. We know what type of leadership he that he brings in. So we're definitely looking forward to it. And I just pray that he take every doubter, just like Phillip Rivers did. They doubted Phillip Rivers when he came to the Indianapolis Colts, and he proved them doubters wrong. So I hope that Carson Wentz can come in and prove every doubter wrong, and hopefully at the end of the season when he's holding up that Lombardi Trophy, hopefully he can hopefully get some kind of good feedback instead of all this negative feedback that he's getting now in the media, which definitely sucks because he's been playing well. He's in the NFL and everybody talk trash. He's playing at the highest level that he can possibly play at, and he gets so much criticism for being an NFL quarterback. So I'm definitely looking forward to it.
By the way, Phillip Rivers, I'm not sure Phillip Rivers could outrun my microphone. He's an old man, and he came in last year, and Joy and I were sitting here, and we're like, this guy, we thought he should hang it up. Were you – I mean, he's not the most athletic guy. The first time you played with him, you know, he didn't run very well. He's got that crazy sidearm stuff. Were you kind of surprised how effective he was at his age?
The year before last, we played him in week one. So I knew what he was capable of. And my brother played with him since my brother got drafted there in 2007. So I watched Phillip for a long time. And then when he got here, you know, everybody was talking down about him, you know, saying he wasn't this, saying he wasn't that. And then you see him in practice and you see him in the games, how he's taking over the whole offense. He's running it. He's talking trash. And he's such a competitor. And I don't think it surprised me because I believed in him since he came from San Diego. But, you know, just having him, the only thing that surprised me was he retired. I really do think that Uncle Phil has some left in the tank. And that was the only surprise to me. But he's been playing well ever since I knew about him.
Yeah. You know, you guys didn't have a preseason last year. Obviously, the pandemic. But it didn't hurt the team. The team played great. When you look back at the pandemic year and the changes you had to make, and now you're going to have OTAs, I would guess, and you're going to have camp. You know, it's funny. I was never a huge fan of preseason football. I don't think Darius Leonard needs 4 warm-up games. I don't want to see you get hurt. Like, preseason to me is me crossing my fingers that star players don't get hurt. How valuable do you believe, Darius, because you didn't have preseason last year and you were good, this morning, do you think preseason is valuable in the NFL?
It's valuable for rookies, I would think so. Just because of the day they're coming in and they're coming into a new system, and you would hate to see their first game going full speed is a real game that really counts, and they really in complete shock with the lights. So when it comes down to preseason games, I think for rookies, that's the best time for them to come. So now they're getting all the jitters out. Okay, now I'm in the NFL. I'm learning this new system. They're going to build them confidence. But I think that's about it because when it comes down to the vets only play maybe 5 to 10 plays, and then we're standing on the sideline. So I just think it's good for the rookies to learn the system and learn exactly how fast the game changed from college to the NFL level.
I'm reading stories over the last week, Darius Leonard joining us from the Colts, as good as any linebacker in the NFL, I mean, simply put. 17-game schedule. I don't know. I don't like to – I mean, I don't like leagues when they get greedy. I feel like, God, you guys play them enough. I don't love the extra game, even though Joy and I benefit from it. More football is good for us. As a player in the NFL, what do you think about an extra game? Are you good, bad?
It sucks.
You don't like it?
No, I don't like it at all. I mean, we're putting our body on the line for 16 weeks already, and then we're going to add another game that's 9 times out of 10 is not even a meaningful game, and you're putting everything at risk. So I personally don't like it. The other guys voted for it. I think the 16-game season was been good for, 50 years now? So why change it now? So I don't like it at all unless they're going to give us another bye week because it's already a long season, so why add another game?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. All right, you have today Darius Leonard announced the establishment of his Maniac Foundation. And you're obviously a guy that cares about your community. I know Chris Ballard. You're one of the good guys. So what's this foundation about? Tell me.
You know, it's the Maniac Foundation. It's based off, you know, just helping every family and kids in need. We have our three pillars that we definitely want to touch. Our first pillar is, you know, helping families get food on the table for their families. The second pillar, you know, we want to talk about kids, you know, helping kids in the educational programs, try to initiate our first math maniacs, try to get them just enjoying doing schoolwork again, especially in the pandemic where you're sitting on the computer all day, you're not in the classroom, you're not around friends. And then the third one is, you know, just helping them with their fitness. You know, you want to get kids more active now because, you know, a lot of video games and everything, everybody's inside. So we want to try to get kids to kind of get active again, making sure that they know that there's so many people that's out there that's going to help them on their way and they're not alone. So just definitely trying to just find a way to get kids more involved, get, you know, help families out that's in need, and, you know, just trying to be a lending hand, a hand to people in need.
By the way, this could be a dumb question, so don't make fun of me, but you hit hard. You hit hard. Are you 235, about 230? How much you weigh?
I probably finished the season probably around 215.
Ooh. You hit hard. if you ever hit a guy and you hear him wince. Like after you hit a guy, you've sacked Ryan Tannehill a lot. When you hit Tannehill, can you just hear, does he ever talk to you and say, can you slow down a little?
No, because, you know, when I tackle quarterbacks, you know, that now it's time to, you know, it's time to celebrate. It's time to, you know, it's time to have fun. So I don't even give them an opportunity to really say too much. I think the only person that I ever hit and he talked trash to me was the old man, Frank Gore. Frank Gore talked trash the whole entire game, which makes the game so much fun. That's the only guy that I really feel like that talked trash when you hit him, because, you know, for him to be his age, he still runs the ball very, very well. He runs hard. He runs behind his pads. And so he has the right to talk trash whenever you do hit him because he done accomplished so much in his career.
Can you imagine talking trash to Darius Leonard and you know he's going to tackle you? I would not recommend that for anybody. Hey, good luck to you and the Colts. You're a credit to the game. You're a good dude, and I love having you on again. Thanks, man.
Yes, sir. No problem. Thanks for having me.
Can you imagine that? His brothers went to Clemson. He went to the camp. They called him up. Oh, we don't have any space for you. I mean, listen, that just shows you can make mistakes. Clemson made a mistake. Clemson. And I never forget the story on DeMarcus Ware. DeMarcus Ware went to like Auburn High School and Auburn didn't offer him. Can you imagine that? Literally, the coach could see the field. You could watch him practice from your office, right? You're not good enough to play here. And that just, so first of all, some kids develop later, right? Like some athletes just get bigger later, but.
Yeah, they're not all Jonathan Ogden in high school.
Yeah, they're not all. Did we show that picture yesterday?
Yeah, we showed it yesterday.
They're not all Jonathan Ogden.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the Herdline News.
You know, sometimes being overlooked and being doubted is part of the process.
Hey, listen, quarterbacks aren't the only one with a chip on their shoulder. Nothing wrong with that. Darius is like, oh, yeah.
I just wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of the chip on the shoulder from Darius Leonard. That's why Philip Rivers is always so fascinating, because he would always talk trash. It's like, why? Well, I don't understand the mentality behind that.
So he said he weighed 215 at the end of the year. If you watch him play, he wrecks people. That's why I thought like 230. He blows guys up.
Built different. Like there's like a 215 that's like tall and lean and, you know, and then there's like.
He caused, in fact, solid. I don't have the stats in front of me. Darius Leonard, I think, caused the most fumbles in the NFL last year. He blows guys up, and he's 215.
Well, speaking of all of that, Russell Wilson's desire for an improved offensive line in Seattle is only going to be heightened now that J.J. Watt is with the Cardinals. And Chandler Jones showed some sympathy for Russell Wilson with what he now has to face in the division after the Watt news dropped. He tweeted, also feel bad for my guy, RW3. LOL. One of the last 9 winners of the NFL Defensive Player of the Year. Of the last, 6 of them are split between J.J. Watt and Aaron Donald, who are in the division now.
Well, also, Bosa's coming back.
Yeah. No, it's rough. I really don't know. Whatever. We don't know what's going to happen with Russell Wilson. But I can't visualize him leaving. Like, I can't visualize him trading him.
Neither can I. I just can't see it. I do think, when Albert Breer said yesterday, 55-45.
I was shocked by that.
Stays. So that means 45. Listen, Pete's got all the power. If Pete feels you're trying to humiliate him, Pete may just move off it. That's why, I got to tell you, the whole Raider thing is fascinating. So Pete and Gruden are two of the three most powerful coaches in the sport. They can make any move happen.
Yeah.
You give me four first-round picks or three first-round picks and Derek Carr, and I get... And by the way, Derek can spin it. Derek's a top 12 quarterback. I don't know. That one is just...
Yeah, but right now, the Seahawks have the best quarterback in the division.
I know. But again, Pete's got power. You're humiliating me. My bosses like me. If I'm humiliating them too long, they're going to get rid of me.
What's more humiliating? Russell Wilson saying he wants a little more power? Are you losing, coming in last in the division every single season because you don't have a quarterback?
Well, I think Derek Carr, maybe, I don't know, maybe Pete Carroll thing. Derek Carr's good.
Derek Carr, what is the gap between Derek Carr and the next best quarterback? Assuming Jimmy G can play, which is an assumption.
Well, no, it would be Russell's the best, yeah. I'm just saying, if you start calling out management, Pete's got all the power now. John Snyder doesn't make all the moves. Pete makes
power.
All the moves.
Power! I want all the power! I want to make all the decisions!
Power!
You don't get anywhere by yourself.
Call it a power lunch.
Okay?
Power martini.
I don't want to hear about it. You're not Serena Williams. You're not Tiger Woods. This is a team sport. And if you're a coach or an executive, you're not on the field. It's a collaboration. When it happens, when you do that, look what can happen. Tom Brady goes to Tampa.
Men like power. We like trucks and we like big meat sandwiches. And
you know what? It makes for great
We like power tools and powerful
It makes for great documentaries and great content. So, yeah. Okay. I guess it's fine. So there's been a lot of speculation about the Niners moving off of Jimmy G this offseason, possibly, but his teammate Kyle Juszczyk doesn't think that Jimmy G will be affected by all the trade talk. He says, I think it would be naive to say he doesn't hear any of it, but the guy really doesn't hear a lot of it. He's not super active on social media. I know he keeps things really close in house, so he's not really putting himself out there and letting himself listen to that kind of stuff, because I think he knows how toxic it can be and what it can lead to. If I was somebody in a situation like Jimmy G, I would stay off social media and probably avoid shows.
Well, just put filters on.
The filters are helpful.
They're everything. I don't even see all the trolls anymore.
They're very helpful. And Twitter can be a place where, Twitter is a place where everybody has an opinion and no one is wrong.
Ever.
So if I'm in a situation like Jimmy G where there's constant speculation about the future of my job, I probably would avoid it as well. There's no way to say it doesn't affect people. Everything affects people in some way or another. If someone tells you something negative about yourself, even if you don't care about the source of it, you've heard it, which is why I do think it's very important to filter those things out. Like, we talk about Derek Jeter all the time. Derek Jeter wanted guys around him during the season because he wanted to remain positive. There is something to that mentality. Now, I do think that constructive criticism is helpful.
Sure.
But what is constructive criticism? Constructive criticism that is helpful comes from places where people either know more than you do about a particular subject, or they are your peers who have had a different experience or have a different perspective on your shared experience, right? Or the people that sign your checks. Twitter doesn't fall in that category.
Right.
So I do think that avoiding social media if you're in that spot is very helpful. So Mac Jones' stock has been climbing as we get closer to the draft. Tua got to see him play when the two of them were at Alabama together, and he expects Jones to be very successful in the NFL.
I would say he's a sly, kind of athletic person. He's a more mobile Tom Brady. You know, he's very athletic, I would say, but he's very smart too. You know, not just on the field, he's smart off the field as well. But he's a great person. I'm thinking whatever team gets him, I mean, they're going to be very lucky. He's a great player.
All those Alabama guys are wide open.
I don't know about Mac Jones.
Not going to be. If he goes to New England, N'Keal Harry can't separate.
He's 6'3", 215. He has the body type, and we've seen him play in big games.
It's just hard to evaluate Alabama quarterbacks.
I agree.
Everybody's wide open.
I agree. You're throwing to the best. You're being protected by the best. You're being coached by the best.
And even there, when you see they're not wide open, they're way better players than the guys defending. I mean, look at it.
It is possible to play on a great team and still look like the best player on that team.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. Joe Burrow.
Yeah, yeah.
No, so you can play for a great program,
right,
with a good to great coach and great pieces around you and still shine the brightest.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily feel that way about Mac Jones. No, look, I'm rooting for him. I hope he gets to the NFL and does well. But we all have to make our evaluations and our picks. That's what we do for a living, is give our opinion. And
I also, in Alabama, you always play with a lead. Most teams, when you're a rookie and you go a top 10 pick, you're playing from behind. That's a whole different ballgame. Everybody knows you're going to throw. Mac Jones throws, it's play action because they always have a great run game. So he's always throwing on like second and two. Well, you're just going to have, with the best receivers. In the NFL, it's third and 11, and everybody in the house knows you're throwing and they pin their ears back.
You have a ball in front of you with no pressure. So, I don't know.
We'll see. Enjoy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Another edition of Would You Rather in Best for Last.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Good to have you in. Free agency's been wild so far. It's not even official, and we got players moving all over the place. We're going to play the game called Would You Rather? So what would I rather see, considering, is it good for our show? Is it entertaining? Is it good for the player? There's a lot of variables here, Joy. Let's play Would You Rather.
Would you rather have Deshaun Watson traded to the Jets or stay in Houston?
I would rather have him traded to the Jets for two reasons. One, it would save his career because nobody should have to play in Houston right now. And two, frankly, Sam Darnold, although as a GM I would keep him, it's a fresh start. He can kind of start over at 23 years old. So I would rather have Deshaun traded to the Jets.
Would you rather have Russell Wilson traded to the Cowboys or stay in Seattle?
For the benefit of our show, I'd rather have him traded to the Cowboys. It would be ratings gold. Also, he's on pace to be the most sacked quarterback ever. Also, I don't think he has the respect of his head coach as much as I would like. And frankly, I'm from the Pacific Northwest, so I have benefited from it. But it would be fascinating to watch Pete Carroll watch Russell Wilson flourish somewhere else.
Would you rather have Justin Herbert or Trevor Lawrence for the next 15 years?
I can't even answer that. That's too tough. Can I go back to that one or something?
I make the rules and you must answer.
I can't answer.
We won't
answer
hold
that.
It against you.
I can't answer that. I don't know. I don't know. Seriously, that's how.
You know what? Right now, I would say Justin Herbert because we have not seen Trevor Lawrence play one snap in the NFL.
I can't say that right now. I really don't. I don't know.
Would you rather have Sam Darnold traded to the Niners or stay in New York?
Oh, that'd be my dream. Yeah, goes to the Niners. That's my dream, is that he goes to an offense that can be run-centric, and he's a physical quarterback. Niners, he fits the Niners. I think he fits Shanahan. He's like Kittle's tough, and Debo Samuel. They're a physical football team. He's a physical quarterback. He'd be out west, and he'd win a lot of games, and I would win a lot of arguments.
This isn't on the list, but of all the quarterbacks we're talking about moving, he's the one you'd want with the Niners the most, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Would you rather have the Dolphins trade for Watson or stick with Tua?
I'd probably want the Dolphins to get him. I like Brian Flores. I mean, good God, they got close to the playoffs last year. And I think he's exciting. Nothing against Tua, but I think he's exciting. And I'm the one that said right before Tua started, I had massive reservations. And so I would be right on this argument, which isn't the biggest thing, but it is nice occasionally.
Would you rather have Tom Brady win his eighth Super Bowl or Russell Wilson win his second next season?
Oh, I would rather have Russell win his second, either in Seattle or Dallas. Yeah, I mean, it's nothing against Brady, but I've seen this story. And I think Russell Wilson, like Aaron Rodgers, kind of needs a second to be a... I mean, they're both going to make the Hall of Fame, but right. I think if you gave Aaron a second and Russell a second, it puts him in a really high-end class.
Would you rather have Dak play on the franchise tag with the Cowboys or secure a long-term deal with a different team?
Oh, I would rather have him secure a long-term deal with a different team because if he played for a different team, I wouldn't have to talk about his contract. I mean, now, let's be honest. If Dak played for the Jags, if he played for 90% of the teams in the league, we wouldn't talk about him.
Not his contract, no. Not to this length.
So I am so fatigued over this story that...
Well, because it's tough to talk about people's money. We don't lose any money if Dak Prescott gets paid. We're not paying him.
And
we want everybody to make money.
He's not a polarizing, like, personality.
No.
So it's just like I'm done with it. So if he went to somewhere else, it's like, okay, I've talked Dak enough for four careers. I'd be over it.
Would you rather have Drew Brees retire or come back for one more season?
Yeah, retire. He's already signed up for Sunday Night Football or NBC or something. Yeah, like, we've seen this, right? Like, this, he is the perfect example. Still competitive, good, not special. You see some physical deterioration. Like, Drew is how you should retire. He's lost his fastball, but he can still throw it about three times a game, not 12, and so you stop. And they got no cap space, so it's a mess.
I also feel like, and Drew doesn't care about this, nor should he. He should do what he wants. But I feel like the fans and the league have emotionally mourned and moved on from Drew Brees.
Yeah, so
if
do
that
I.
makes sense.
So do I.
Like, we saw that. We felt it. We saw him on the field with Brady. We saw his look back. Like, we enjoyed his career.
I don't know
Drew doesn't care about that.
I don't know what I do with Trevor Lawrence and Justin Herbert. I really don't.
Yeah, you ducked out of that one.
That was too difficult. See, I just don't want to put that one on tape and it come back
to
haunt
me. No, I know, because they always clip it and, like, don't put any context with it. I don't see you guys clipping, making those, montage videos when we're right about everything.
Yeah, you never see those. But I got filter. I don't see anything anymore. I remember I used to be part of a little Twitter anger community. Now, not anymore. I'd go home and eat matzo ball soup every day. I have matzo ball soup every day at my hotel. They have great matzo ball soup every day.
Matzo ball soup. The soup is excellent, but...
My hotel... crushes it.
I love a good soup. I could eat soup for lunch every day.
Yeah. I'm very pro broth.
Except for Wednesdays because it's Jersey Mike's day.
Tomorrow we eat sandwiches. You know, here's the thing about the Jersey Mike's Wednesdays. It makes Tuesday and Thursday sad. Seriously. Like, I come to work on Tuesday, I'm like, I get nothing for free today. It's not that great of a day. Jersey Mike's has made all the other days sad days.
People ask me about how fast you eat your sandwich.
Oh, I devour it. I look like Popeye, those old burger things where you just tilt your head back and it slides down.
I've never seen anyone inhale a sandwich faster.
Quite proud of it. Go to mdriveformen.com today. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Age, don't let it define you. Powerful supplements. Ingredients backed by science. Check out mdriveformen.com today. All right, good stuff. Sandwiches tomorrow for the world. We'll see you then. Speak for yourself. He's right around the corner. LeVar Arrington's already saddled up and ready to go. In L.A., it's The Herd.